Sanctification. This just kind of all of a sudden happened. They're like, hey, Tyson, do you want to speak for 90 Sunday? And I was like, yeah, I do. And so that's how it all started about a week and a half ago, I think it was. You know, really a lot of preparation went into this and thought. But Jim was talking about last week, he was talking about sanctification. And it was a really good talk. And he had so many scriptures and whatnot. And it was really good and how sanctification is for the saved. Well, today we're just kind of going to stop and just take a moment and look at what sanctification really is, because we know what it is, but we don't really know necessarily what it looks like. So that's what we're going to do today. So first question I just want to ask you guys, what's the point of sanctification, or what is sanctification? Does anybody know? You can raise your hand if you remember from last week. Jim will not take offense if you do not remember, because most people don't listen to Jim, and it's okay, he's used to it, guys. It's okay. Yeah. Man, can you stand up for a minute? Hold on. Can you stand up for just a minute? Jim, I want you to know, he was reading his notes on his phone. Like, you better come give this man a hug. Dude, there it is. Nothing but love. Preacher love. Bravo, man. Just got him. First try. Man, that's... Bravo. I didn't even take notes. I totally remember, but it's a process by which that God is making us more like Christ. That's the simple version of it, right? Man, that was great. So let me ask you guys this. What does that process of sanctification look like? What are your thoughts on how it looks for the process of sanctification? Jim talked a lot last week about, you know, what if you inherited this huge estate that was in New Zealand, because apparently that's where all the rich people live, which I didn't know until that sermon, so thank you, Jim. You have this huge estate that, like, a uncle or grandfather left you, and you just fly over, you have a garage full of Ferraris, it's just millions of dollars, you have it, and you're there for like a week to see, hey, look, I got it, and then we come home, we go back to our ordinary lives, right? We just come back to Columbia, and I'm back to driving my Volkswagen or whatever it is that you guys drive. You know, we're not taking advantage of what we have, right? So Jim kind of started us off on that. Well, what does that process of sanctification look like? What do you guys think it is? Anybody can jump in here. Shoot one little small definition. It's not a right or a wrong answer. Connor, you look like you're thinking hard. We'll come back to you. There's Will with a joke from the back. Amber. Right, becoming more like Christ. But how does that happen? What, we know that that's the definition, but what does that process look like? For getting into the Bible, okay. Obey your Bible. All right. So, for everybody, it's different. Man, can you stand up and just say that for everybody? Because you just nailed it. Man, thank you. Seriously, give her that. Yeah. The two words that I picked out were going to be slow and painful. We don't really think that sanctification is kind of a slow, painful thing, but it's a process. We're going to go through different things. The great thing about the 90s is, like, I don't know if you guys noticed in that first video, it's a Christian group called Audio Adrenaline. I was a big fan. Not ashamed. I have that CD somewhere, either back in Michigan or here. Love it. I'm positive it's not a cassette because I used to put it in my CD Walkman from Sony. You're welcome. By the way, Jim's, you're younger than I am, so he knows most of the 90s. He's like to downplay that he was ever part of the 90s. But anyways, that was getting me off track. Don't do that. So slow and painful. We don't really think of the process of that. But the thing about the 90s, that's what I was saying about the video, is we wanted to be individualistic, right? We wore ridiculous clothes, tons of layers. Yeah, I'm going to throw on some combat boots because I can. Like, that's what we wanted to do. And we were really trying to break the mold of what Christianity and traditional Christianity kind of was. We were trying to be different and individualistic. Guess what, guys? God has created us each as individuals. We look at those kids' pictures, and you could just see in some of the faces, you're just like, yep, that's Tyson. Totally new. Fallon's came up. I was like, that's Fallon. Just the individual things that make us who we are. God took the time to design us that way. It's not good, bad, or anything other than God's beautiful creation, that he took the time to make you exactly how you are, to like the things that you like, to have the style that you have, and things like that. And so when we talk about sanctification, I'm talking about your individual process that you're going to go through in your life that's going to be taking a lifetime. And it's not going to be just an easy piece of cake thing. We're going to go through hurts. We're going to go through troubles. We're going to go through pains. So that's what we're going to be kind of focusing on today. So Jim laid out last week that sanctification is for the saved, that it really starts at salvation. And that was a great point. We need to make sure that we are living as though we do have that all that money, all that the keys to the kingdom, right? Because we have that in the gospel. Once we become saved, we have that. And we need to continue to live as if we have that, as if we have Jesus, as if we have the greatest thing that there is to have in the universe, because he is, instead of living and trying to be like everybody else. Instead of trying to fit in to what this society deems as, well, that's acceptable, that's cool, you know, that's not. You know what I mean? We need to live in the freedom that we've gained through Christ. But it's easier said than done, right? I mean, I can tell you here, yeah, it's a process. Easy to say, hard to go through. Let me ask you guys this. If I were to say, I will give you guys $1 million, who wants that $1 million? Let's just be honest, raise your hand. We want $1 million, of course. What if I said, okay, well, in order to get that $1 million, it's going to take 80 to 100 years. Is anybody be like, yeah, sign me up for that commitment? Couple, okay. For me, I wouldn't. I'd be like, 80, man, I am impatient, and I do not want to wait 80 to 100 years, and I don't even know, like, if I can make 80 to 100 years, I'm going to be 30 this year. That's 50 to 70 years down the road. Anybody got time for all that? But anyways, some of us kind of say, yeah, well, we would wait, right? What about when year 40 comes around? You've been waiting 40 years, right? What about when that comes around? Oh, I'm halfway there. Could stick it out. You know, we're going to be tried and tested. Like, man, it's been 40 years. Like, I've waited quite a long time. Don't really know if I really want to wait another 40 years. And we would start to kind of maybe guess, you know. But if I said, hey, guys, I have $1 million and I'll give it to you right now. Who's like, yep. You're handing things out, I'm receiving. Go ahead. That's totally me, right? I don't want to work for things. I'm lazy. I'm stubborn. Hey, you want to hand me things? Jim, if you want to give me $10, I'm letting you know right now. You can, all right? Like, seriously, like, that's just how it is. That's how our society is, too. It's an instant gratification. Sanctification is not instant gratification. God working in our lives does not just happen overnight. He did not allow Adam and Eve to fall and then go, okay, let me send Jesus now and make everything better now. Nope. He allowed them to have to deal with labor. And for guys, that's for us having to work. And that's why we tend to want things to come easy, because we don't want to work. We don't want to labor. Women, you got to deal with childbirth. I'm not there. I can't speak to that, but I trust that it's extremely painful and probably awful at some points. It's a great reward at the end, but just be honest. You know, that's not fun things that we want to go through. We'd much rather just have the field and then have our reward from that field without having to work the field, right? That's what we're going to be talking about. This is why I wanted us to really kind of hone in on sanctification, because we can hear it like, yeah, sanctification, that's great. And Jim gave us so many verses. They were so great. Well, let's just stop and take a minute and look at it. So, excuse me. So, this process of sanctification, like I said, is taking a lifetime. But that lifetime and that span is different for everybody, because we're not all going to live to be 100 years old. Some of us may live to be 17. Some of us may not make it past the age of 5. Some of us may make it to be 102. I don't know. All I do know that God is at work in each and every one of our lives, that he is a sovereign creator, that he designed you before you were born to be who you are, to grow into who you are now. And he's constantly at work in your lives. But just because somebody else seems to maybe be ahead of the game does not mean that they're any better off. Their journey is different than yours, and don't compare yourself. So, today is 90s Sunday, and like I said, I am really excited about 90s Sunday. And so since we're talking about it being a journey, let's look back to the 90s. Oh, I forgot, I got it on my phone. I'm trying to be like Jim here, guys. So this is TV shows. If you know me, you know I love to watch TV shows. I'm not going to lie. It kind of breaks my heart if you're reading any of these. You're like, I don't know what that show is. Like, if you say that, it breaks my heart a little bit just because I've wasted so many hours and so much time watching TV and movies. And I'm sorry. But anyways, Friends, I'm sure everybody heard of Friends. Yeah, huge show. My sister owns every season, and I've probably seen every episode. Frasier, I never got into. It was a bit above my head because I was a lot shorter at that time, so things went over my head. Home Improvement? Yeah, that was like a terrible grunt. He used to grunt all the time in the show. Sorry. And you had Wilson behind, you know. See, they got it. I'm sorry. I'm really excited about this. Listen, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, that was my show, y'all. You don't understand. Seen every episode of that probably twice, huh? Do the rap. Born in West Philadelphia, born and raised. On the playground is where I spent most of my days. Chilling out, maxing, relaxing, or cooling, or shooting some b-ball outside of school. I'm just going to stop. I saw some phones coming out. Callie was on it. Got in one little fight and my mom got scared. Sorry. You see, that's y'all's fault for getting me to do it. Anyways, Saved by the Bell, probably my top show from the 90s. I wanted to be, and still do to this day, Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell. Nobody wanted to be Screech. You say that because you were Screech and you didn't even like it, all right? Just kidding. Full House, man, we had great family shows in the 90s. Full House, Family Matters, like, all right. So, absolute favorite cartoon of all time is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You will see this as evidence in a minute. Rugrats, I'm sure you guys know the show Rugrats, maybe? Okay. Anybody know Roseanne? Okay. People pointing them out in the audience. That was their life. That explains so much right now, Anna. No, I'm just kidding. Roseanne, I never really kind of got into it, but I knew of it. It was a big show. All right, this one maybe some people probably don't know. Ren and Stimpy. Does anybody know Ren and Stimpy? I love stupid things, and that's as stupid as it gets. I don't know. Kenan and Kel also was kind of at the end of the 90s. Kenan Thompson, Kel Mitchell. Who loves orange soda? I love orange soda. There it is. I do. Yeah, sorry. So, Boy Meets World, listen, that taught me so many lessons. And it was such a good show that they now have Girl Meets World, his daughter, which is kind of weird. I only know that because I have nieces, sorry. 90210, again, was kind of an adult show above my head at that time when I was 5 foot. So, didn't really watch it, but that was a big show in the 90s. What? So much laughter. I don't know what's going on. So now we got 90s music. Whoa, don't be laughing at Boys to Men here. And I'm sorry, I'm getting a little carried away with this 90s. Boys to Men, man. The first ever, like, the best boy group was Boys to Men. I'm just saying. They had some soul. What was that? Oh, I heard you singing. All right. Spice Girls, not even going to lie. Totally knew it. Ginger's like, yeah, Spice Girls. Got one. MC Hammer. Everybody knows Can't Touch Us. Does anybody know Too Legit? Too Legit to Quit. I even know the hand signals. Loved MC Hammer. Vanilla Ice was at like 89 to 90 to 91 is when he actually kind of got popular. It was very early 90s, but again, I know every word and most of you guys probably do because it's, you know, it's just sarcasm. Ice. Yeah, thank you guys. Nirvana, you know, Smells Like Teen Spirit, big hit in the 90s. Savage Garden, my sister loved them. Truly, madly, deeply. Yeah, there it is. Cool. Green Day, still around today. Hope you have the time of your life. Kind of great. TLC, listen. Don't go chasing. Yes! Do y'all know their main song before that, though? Everybody knows that one. No, Scrubs was after it, actually. Creep. You got me on the creep. Yeah, because he doesn't know as I do. Anyways, I'm sorry. Y'all got me all worked up today for 90s. Whitney Houston, you know, she did the movie The Bodyguard, and she had that great song. Madonna. Does anybody know Jamiroquai? I only put this one up there because I'll be honest, that's for me. He had like two hits in like the end of the 90s. Amanda man, we need to talk afterwards. All right, you got Notorious B.I.G., LL Cool J, Beastie Boys. Those are kind of more rap, I'm not going to lie. I grew up with some rap, so.
Listen.
Whoa! I did not mean to offend anybody. I did not give a conclusive list of every show, nor am I giving a conclusive list of every genre of music. Yes, I'm sorry, Backstreet Boys NSYNC came in at the end of the 90s and were mostly known through the early 2000s. I apologize. Please don't write me any angry letters or emails. All right, so now, I'm just trying to get through this quickly, but I'm not. Let's go to fashion. Yeah, 90s fashion. So, yeah, so we got bell bottoms were huge. Huge. I owned a pair. Actually, they were hand-me-downs from my sister. I'm not even going to lie. They had patches. I had like a Mickey Mouse patch on them because it was weird. Saved by the Bell over here. Oh, I love the show. Look at what are the girls wearing there? I don't even know. But you always had the acid wash jeans for the guys, and you always had your shoes showing. You always. You weren't like this. It was keeping it tight and rocking them like that. That's just how it was. Yeah, anyways. So does anybody know what these pants are called? They're not, huh? Not parachutes. Somebody start with a Z. Yes, they do. Zubaz. They're basically like sweatpants. And they're funky looking. They came in all ridiculous patterns, but they had all the sports players wearing them. Like, oh, man, I was looking it up, and just so many sports players were wearing them back in the 90s. For whatever reason, that was a thing. And I owned at least four pair. I loved them. I still love them. You laugh. I still love them. I wish I had a pair right now. I would be rocking those right now. They were great. Sorry. It's just... All right. So anyways, so those are some of the pictures. But before we get quite into the lesson, because it's 90s Sunday, let's take a look at Tyson in the 90s. Let's just be honest. All right? Y'all prepared? No, I don't think you are. All right. So first picture. First three pictures. Oh, thank you, people. I was expecting laughters. That's me with my grandfather, who's from Nebraska. Connor, that's for you. Notice the the overalls. Okay, it's me and my sister, a lot of them. Me with my stupid, goofy grin. Which, if you know me, you're like, oh, that's a staple to Tyson. By the way, rock this Michael Jordan jersey all the time. You can tell because it's in two of the pictures. I had to put them together. Listen, if y'all ever meet my mom, do not tell her you saw this picture, by the way. She had those weird big old glasses. Yeah, you laugh. It's just, there's nothing you can do about it. Anyways, I purposely wore, I don't know if you noticed, this is a really nice button-up white shirt for picture day. This was sixth grade. I was like, no, I want my Jordan jersey to be in my school picture. I'm wearing a nice shirt with a jersey over it. What was I thinking? Repping Michael Jordan all day. Loved it. Was the biggest fan, obviously, since I wore it with my mom. And then, of course, you got the killer socks. Just killer socks. Man, they don't make socks like that anymore. How dare they? Continuing on, I'm sorry. So that's a great picture. I heard that it was between me and Alyssa for goofiest pictures for the 90s, but that's a stud right there. Y'all better recognize. Look at that sweater with the stripes. Me in Nebraska again. Me older. This is the plaid. This was end of the 90s, and that's what was cool. It was just kind of like Jim's t-shirt. You just kind of had a button down, and typically it ended up being plaid. And you had some Tommy Hilfiger jeans. When I was like just before getting into youth group, it was really big Tommy Hilfiger jeans, but they were Carpenter jeans. They had this little loop on the side that had the little Tommy logo. Ah, wish I had some of those. That's what I was going to try to wear today, but I didn't get around to it. Anyways, look at my parents. Oh, gosh. Dad rocking the stash. He loves it. He's the only man I'm okay with having a mustache just because he's my dad. Now, this is what I'm talking about. You talk about being a fan of Ninja Turtles. This is my favorite photo right here. This was 1990. I was turning 5 years old. That was Christmas. I got a turtle. I had my ninja outfit. So proud of that. Plus, I'm obviously very patriotic. I got an American flag t-shirt. So is my sister. Hashtag America. That's all I can say about that. And I don't know if you guys know, but this stuff here is called snow. And that's what it looks like to actually have, like, a little bit of snow. That's a little bit. That snowman's not very big. I'm a tiny child, and that snowman's as big as me. Well, I'm about Connor's size in this picture, but... sorry. Anyway, so I just wanted to throw that in there for snow. Let's get back. I'm sorry. I told you guys I was going to get off course. So Jim kind of laid us this foundation last week that sanctification starts with salvation. He used this verse, 1 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All right? Sorry, I got really excited about the 90s. I'm going to have to get some water now. I'm out of breath. If you want to talk about the 90s afterwards, come see me. We will have a grand old time. It's going to be great. We can talk about TV shows, movies, music, whatever. Huh? Yeah, we'll talk about some fashion. Absolutely. All right, so anyways, so this is our starting point. This is where Jim really kind of started for us. It starts with salvation. This is not something to be overlooked. Salvation is a huge, huge key in anybody's life and in their journey. Because that's at the point where they become a new creation. And we talked about it not being instant gratification, right? Well, what that means is when we're made a new creation in Christ, do we have it all together? Let me ask you guys. Anybody here saved as a child? Do they get, say, the prayer as a child? A couple, okay. How old were you, by the way? Anybody? Eight? Five? Four? Four. I almost don't believe that. Five? Eight? All right. Seven? Cool. Huh? 12? Okay. Yeah, I got saved, I think I was around 5 years old. I was really young. And I was in the back of my grandparents' car. It was a white Lincoln, like a big old boat. Oh, I love that car. Had blue interior, but it was like fuzzy, almost like velour, if you know what that is. Like, it was that, like, felt blue interior. It was so great. I love my grandparents for that. I just was like, Mom, how do you get saved? I want to know how to get saved. And it's one of my kind of earliest memories. But at that point that you got saved, so that was, I was five. I'm going to be 30 this year. And 25 years ago, like, man, that's a long time. I'm going to ask this question. Y'all got to be a little kind. All right? Just a little kind. Not completely kind, just a little bit. Do y'all think I have it all together? All right. I appreciate that nobody's like, no! Appreciate that. All right. Yeah, we don't have it all together. When I got saved at five, my life was not completely turned around. Heck, I didn't really have a life. You know what I mean? When I got five, I was playing Nintendo and trying to beat Super Mario Brothers, you know? We're really excited about that. Oh, video games. Sorry. 90s. Again, it gets me every time. I apologize. So, what about you? Anybody got saved? I heard 12. What about anybody saved, like, when they were older, like 15-ish or whatnot? Anybody? Nobody? Older than 15? 30? 20? Okay. When that happened to you, you're kind of going in your life. What happened? I mean, was it just change and everything's been simple since then? Like, you've been made a new creation. You don't know? Same thing for you? That's an amen if I've ever heard one, right? Yeah, guys, we don't have instant gratification. We've been made a new creation, but guess what? We still have to deal with our fallen nature. We still are going to struggle. We're going to still sin, and we're still going to fail. But that's the whole point of what we're looking into today. It's about the journey. When I look at those pictures of me, I won't go back to them. When I look at those pictures of me, I was a little kid, right? I think at the tallest, I think I was about 5 foot nothing, maybe. Yeah. No, I didn't grow until summer after freshman year of high school, which would have been 2001. Summer of 2001, I grew 6 inches. Yeah. Right? You're still waiting for that summer. It's cool. But then the next summer, guys, I grew in like another 6 inches. Like, I'm not even joking with you. By any means, you can ask my mom. I promise. Like, go to the doctor, and he's like, what are you feeding the kid? I was like, we don't feed him. He's trying to eat us out of house and home. We try to just starve him at this point. Like, seriously, like, I was a growing kid. I had no control over it. I did not destined for myself to be 6 foot six, which is what I am, by the way, and, you know, That was not my plan for my life. But it just happened because that's how God created me. But when I grew those 6 inches, you better believe that there were some growing pains. Man, I'd be like, Mom, listen, I'm hurting. Like, my legs hurt. My knees hurt. She's like, you grew 6 inches. Your body's literally growing. You got to get used to it. Like, I'm like, I don't want to. This hurts. Why do I got to be in pain? I'm already tall. Why do I got to be hurting? Guess what, guys? If we're going to grow, we're going to have to go through the pain. So this is where that starts. Becoming a new creation. This does not solve everything. It just is the beginning. This is where you're that little kid with that childlike faith that said, you know what? I want to know how to become saved. I want to know Jesus. I don't know why. Can't really explain it. But apparently he's pulling on me, calling me at this point in this time in my life. That I'm going to surrender my life to him. We didn't exactly understand all the theology behind that. We didn't know all the praise songs. We didn't know. We just knew enough that we wanted to get saved. That God was calling us to be a new creation. But we had to kind of grow into that new creation. We had to learn. We had to then kind of get into our Bible, which is what we kind of talked about with the process of sanctification, which is why you guys mentioned it. We had to get in our Word. We had to know what type of person that God wanted us to be. How we're supposed to live and treat others. How we're supposed to love God. That's the process of sanctification, is us becoming more like Christ-like means that we're going to learn, that we're going to have trials, we're going to have errors, that we're going to fail. That, guys, we're going to fail. That we're going to disappoint people, that we're going to hurt people. Because it's just kind of part of the process, because we don't have it all together, because God doesn't want to just give us the answer right away and make life easy. He wants us to see him through that struggle. He wants us to rely on him and he wants us to come to him and say, God, I need you at this time. For me, when I failed out of college, it was, God, I need you. And then when I failed out again, it was like, okay, God. Like, I think I'm trying to pursue what you want me to pursue, but I need your answers because I don't know what to do next. I thought logically that I was smart enough, that I was far enough along, that I could kind of figure it out and you kind of guide me and things like that, but I forget, I'm not in control. I did not create me to be like this. You did, God. And God wants us to refer back to our Creator, him, so he can help us through this journey. But he wants us to grow. He's got a specific plan and purpose for our lives. I have two illustrations. The first one is, do you guys know what a blacksmith is? I don't really have them too much. They're kind of a fine art nowadays. Blacksmith makes tools. Doesn't just make any tools, but makes them out of metal, right? Hard metal. Makes things like horseshoes, things out of iron. Like, he deals with hard raw materials, right? Have you guys ever held a horseshoe, by the way? Is anybody here? An actual horseshoe? They're heavy. Right. They're so dense. And have you ever, like, tried to bend one? Not gonna happen. I mean, listen, guys, if I can't do it, you guys aren't going to be able to do it. I'm just going to let you know right now. But that's what he deals with. And that's what he's trying to shape. What does he do in order to shape these tools? Heats it. How does he heat it up? Put it in the fire. He's going to forge it by putting it in the fire. Not just any ordinary fire where it's just like, hey, let me light a match and we just got this tiny fire going. No. Let me throw coals in there. Let me throw some wood. Let me get this thing really going. Because it's got to be really hot in order to break down the material that I'm using. Not to completely break it down so it dissolves into nothing, but makes it so it can be bendable. Guys, God's making us into tools for his ministry. Guess what? We're stubborn and we are hard like that metal. We don't want to change. I do want it to be easy. I want it to be my way. I don't want it to be God's way. Sanctification isn't like that. It's about God's way. But he's going to do it slowly, and he's going to bend us and it's going to hurt. He's going to put us in the fire. Man, when you guys said you wanted to be saved, if someone was like, yeah, do you want God to put you into a fire? Therefore, come get saved. Nobody preaches that. Guess what? That's what life is, though. It's being in the middle of the fire. If God didn't spare his own son from death on a cross and being beaten within an inch of his life, I doubt he's going to save any of us from anything like that. If he's willing to spare his son, and guess what? His son did die and then rose again and garnered victory. We have the same thing in Christ. God's going to allow us to be put into the fire, to be tested, to be bent, to kind of go against our grain, to go against our will, to go against our plans. And the things that we struggle with are what we're supposed to struggle with as individuals. I don't struggle with the same things that everybody else struggles with. Jim's journey is completely different than mine. Mine is completely different than Will's. Will's completely different than Amber's. We had different upbringings, different home lives. And we faced things that we probably never thought that we would go through. Battle with things that was never the plan. But those moments and being in the fire and going through such hard things is exactly what God wants for us, because he wants to mold us. He wants us to see that when we're in the middle of it, that all we got to do is know that we're in the hands of God Almighty. That this is not just chance, and I'm not just out there alone, but I'm in the hands of the blacksmith of the universe. That he knows exactly what he's doing. He knows that he's not going to leave me in that fire forever. I'm not going to have to go through a trial that's going to last necessarily my whole lifetime. Everything has a season. God's going to pull us out, and he's going to bend us, and then finally, eventually, when he gets us exactly how we are, we don't got to worry about being in the fire anymore. He's going to dip us in water, cool us off, and that's our final shape. And that's glorification for us. But guess what? It's still going to be a process. God doesn't just speak it into existence. He wants us to go through the trials that we need to go through in order to trust him more, in order for us to know him more. So I want us to realize that our journey with God is like that. It's like being in the hands of a blacksmith. And you can trust that blacksmith. He's not going to be negligent. He's not, even though that it's painful and doesn't feel good, he's not just going to leave us in there. Just sit in the fire. I'm going to come back in a week. No. He's working on us. Small things. Okay? My next illustration is actually out of Scripture. This is a pretty famous section of the Bible. This is where Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. I'm sure many of you have probably heard it. But it's John 15, and most people kind of pick up kind of after this point. This is literally the second verse. And it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. We got any gardeners in here? Will, I know you have a garden. You got like small plants. Anybody else a gardener? Will, do you know what pruning is? Yeah. What is it? Okay, absolutely. We agree with that? Absolutely. It's called pruning. It's trimming it back. I think about my dad doing this in our backyard. My mom loves roses, but my dad didn't want to buy her roses all the time. So he's like, I'll plant you some rose bushes. And when they bloom, I'll come out, cut them off, and bring them in. So he used to do this. I was like, Dad, why are you, like, he just cut them off. I'm like, why are you, like, you're going to kill the plant? Because I'm a little kid. And he's like, no, I'm not going to kill the plant. It allows for more growth. See, when we hear that I am the vine and you are the branches, we really kind of hone in on the abiding in, right? Staying in that. We don't really focus on the fact that God's going to be pruning us. That although he's growing things in us, like the fruits of the Spirit to blossom in our lives, like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, things like that he's doing in our lives, we don't really think that he's going to chop that off so we can grow more. But think about it. God doesn't want us to simply just know him. He wants us to make sure that we are using our gifts and those fruit that we've grown in
so other people can know him. He doesn't want us to just, you know, blossom a pretty flower and be like, oh yeah, look at that, I did that with God. No, he wants to prune that, he wants to trim that off, and he's going to use that as maybe his next seed to plant in somebody else's life. And guess what? We get so proud, like, yeah, I'm doing really good with patience right now, or maybe I'm really good at reading my Bible, and then it becomes test time. And it becomes times where we're going to actually have to use those patience. Or somebody's going to give us some hard questions, and we're going to actually have to know our Bible. And God wants us to use that for others. Our process of sanctification starts with salvation. It does start with us. It is not confined to that, though. We are made so we will continue to blossom, continue to grow, and that way that's for others to grow as well. That beautiful rose is not just to sit there for just me. Okay, God, cool. You showed me love. I can blossom love. But no, it's for me to go and show that love. Use that. Because what happens if that blossom just stays on the whole time? It's eventually going to get cold, and it's going to die, right? Eventually, it's just going to die. Wow, that was great to have it there. What about if you just left it dead, and it just, instead of withering away, it just kind of stayed on that part? Is anything new going to grow through that? No, not at all. Because there's something already there. Our process of sanctification is for us to be using towards others for this kingdom. For us to be using that great estate that's in New Zealand that we inherited, this great fortune, it's for us to be using to show others that, hey, you can have this too. And so I really want us to just kind of realize that we're not made to be simply perfect right away. We are going to make errors. We're going to fail. But we're growing. We know that God has a plan. We're not second-guessing God. We're just kind of wondering maybe why I'm going through this in my life. You know, things like, why did I have to lose my best friend in a car accident? Why did my parents get divorced? Why do I struggle with drugs? Why can't I just sit down and read my Bible? Whatever the struggle is, it is still in the hands of the Father. And the Father is greater than anything that can, you know, try to overtake us. It doesn't say here that he cuts off the whole branch of people that are bearing good fruit, does it? He does say, you know, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. But that, you know, is kind of growing, he doesn't chop it off. He prunes it. Just a little bit, just a trim. And just kind of refine. As we go on our walk, and we're either in the vine, and we're part of the branches, or we're out, that's going to be kind of our journey. But once we get in the vine, and we're kind of going with God, you see that he's just kind of going to refine us. We'll just take this a little bit off. Let's have a little more growth here. We need a little more love. We need a little more patience. We need a little more joy. You need to be into your word a little more. All right? So, this is a process of sanctification. And as we go through these tough things, this is my last slide. As we go through these tough things, we need to realize that we can hold true to God's word. That when we see here in Romans 5:3-4, we see God had already planned, and he knows that we're going to go through sufferings. He knows that we're going to go through painful things. Anything that's tough or painful, aka suffering, we're going to go through. But it says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. I picked out that small little part of the scripture because it's one of my favorite things. That's what I always come back to. If I'm going through something tough, okay, God, I know that going through suffering, and I feel like this could be the worst thing in the world, whatever it is. God, I know that it's building me. I know that you have a plan. I know that you're not just leaving me out here by myself. I know that this isn't greater than me. I know that although I had dealt with this loss or I continue to battle this, that you're right here with me, that you're in control of it, and that it's only building me. Suffering produces endurance. We got to remember that that fire doesn't consume us. We eventually make it out. The pruning does not end us. It just trims, takes a little bit off. We're still there. That's endurance. When we make it to the end of the race, that's endurance. If we stop at any point in the middle, we didn't endure, did we? We started, and then we stopped. We were not able to endure. Endurance doesn't mean you came in first, and yeah, woo, super fast, got first place. That'd be me if I won a race. I'd be holding it over all of you. I'll just be honest. I'm kind of arrogant and competitive. But we'd be like, first place. No, that's not endurance. Endurance is simply starting and finishing. Endurance is, yeah, 1,371st place. Made it. Didn't even know if I could run 10 miles. Sorry, that's a small goal for me. I know I'm sure all of you run more than 10 miles. I didn't know I could make it 10 miles. But I did it. I didn't think my legs would even continue to move after mile 3. They carried me for 7 more miles. I don't care that it took me 24 hours to get 10 miles. I did it. I got to the end. That's what endurance is. It's getting through. It's not being conquered. Right? And then that produces character. Character is one of the greatest things you could say about somebody. Man, they have great character. Right? Does anybody here think that if somebody were to give you the comment, you have really good character, would you take that negatively? Would you be proud about that though? Absolutely. I want to be a man of good character. I want to be able to where I'm loyal, where people can depend on me. We want to build character. Well, that's going to happen through suffering. Because that suffering produces endurance. That endurance builds character. And that character produces hope. And that's what pushes us through to endure, knowing that God's in control. So we see that it comes back full circle. So that's where I want us to focus on sanctification. Is that we need to remember that it's all part of a plan, that we need to grow, we need to go through some pains, that God's in control of it all, and that it's building us. It's giving us endurance, it's giving us character, and that's giving us hope. And hope is what we live for. All right? You guys can bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm going to pray real quick. God, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to come and give your word. Lord, I thank you for everybody that's here. Lord, I just pray that I was clear today. Lord, that regardless of what I said, that God, your message just got through. That you were working on the hearts through the words that rolled off of my lips. God, we're thankful for the fact that you even take the time to grow us. We're thankful for the fact that, or that we could be saved and even be made into a new creation because you love us so much that you take the time. Father God, that you're putting in the time with us to spend. Not only is it us for a lifetime, but it's you for that lifetime. That we have a partner in life that is teaching us, raising us, growing us. And then using us so that way we could affect other people. So that way we could simply shine the glory that you've shined to us. God, I pray today as we just get ready to leave this place, as we worship you a little bit more and then we leave, that the words said today would not just be just back thoughts, that they would just be, okay, cool, good message, I'm out, and now we got to get lunch, and now we're going to do this, I'm going to play some Frisbee, and I'm going to watch a movie, or whatever it is that we have planned. But Father God, that your word sinks into our hearts into a way that it's going to come up later this week, or maybe 3 weeks from now, or maybe 4 months from now. God, that it will be just in there resonating and just, God, that it will just humble us and that we will just appreciate and love you more and just realize the truth that is you. We thank you and praise you for all these things today. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe we have one more song. You guys can stand and sing.